And three, two.
This is C. Michael Hall, writer and creator of Ape Entertainment's Hell Dorado, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
To another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jacob.
And we are in our second part in our visit with Rhonda Rees, the author of Profit and Prosper with Public Relations, Insider Secrets to Make You a Success. So, Rhonda, thank you for sticking around for additional time.
Well, thank you very much for having me back.
You've always been nice to us, so we're glad to have you here. So, thank you.
Thank you.
When we left off last time, we were kind of talking about the political campaigns and giving some time to what the different philosophies are and what's been happening within the fields with PR, along with some other different types, kind of sticking with a theme of politics. And we kind of talked about crisis control a little bit. We've talked about how using Twitter is out there. One of the things that popped into my head that I was kind of wanted to ask about with the crisis control, just to jump back just for a smidgen, then we can continue on. Are there, and this is like if somebody's going into the PR business, is there an actual field where the PR person says, yes, we will work with the negative aspects and put it out there, we'll just spin it great? Or is that just a misnomer that people have that, you know, there's nothing bad about bad PR, it's all good?
Well, actually, as far as I know, yes. I mean, there's all kinds of public relations and damage control and spinning something, you name it. You know, like, here's an example of something on that order. You know, in the 1980s, The Cosby Show was the most popular show on television. It was, right. I think, number one for quite some time.
Right.
And obviously, you advance the clock 30 years later, and Bill Cosby is in the middle of a major crisis scandal with legal repercussions and you name it. And if this information had come out at the time where his show was number one, or if he was a pitch person, endorsement person, same with like O.J. Simpson, and he was a huge hero quite a long time ago, and then and an actor, and you name it, and then what happened with his situation, he's currently in jail, and the murder, and all that with him. So there's a lot more of this and the scandals out in the public eye now more than at any other time I remember. And obviously, you know, these people hire lawyers and you name it, but they all have a lot of PR people and specialists, and some won't touch them with a 10-foot pole. But, you know, I think, depends on the timing of when they find themselves in hot water. If it's in the middle of their heyday or if it's after the fact, you know, they might handle it a little bit different.
What about a PR person that brings on a client, is a little bit too goody-two-shoes, for lack of a better term, and says, you need to get rougher. You need to get controversial. That's kind of like you're promoting a negative PR to get the person recognized.
Well, you know, that would be an individual choice of the public relations firm or specialist, because I know for myself, I have actually turned down certain clients and things over the years when I just don't feel comfortable. If it doesn't jive with how I feel morally, ethically, with respect and things, because the PR person enters into a close partnership and kind of a relationship with the clients that they represent. And, you know, if you really don't want to be associated with somebody super controversial, then it's probably a good idea to turn it down rather than to possibly tarnish your own name and reputation. Because when a public relations person sends out the press release, their name and brand is stamped on that.
Right.
So whenever I send out a press release on behalf of a client, and the press release is generally like the who, what, when, where, why, and how of your message for your product, for your service, for your book, for your cause, concern, business, it does say, you know, contact Rhonda Reese with a contact information, phone number, or whatever, and that goes out to lots of media. And so it's also my reputation on the line as well.
Okay. And to kind of shift it back towards the political arena, one of the things is it's a two-party system. One of the things is PRs is trying to bring about a unique or new, and in this case it's not really new, but in a sense it is to some people, with the parties that don't have the strong footing, like you have the Independent, Libertarian,
I'm not sure
what Green Party is out there.
Yeah, there's the Green Party.
Right.
How do you make them jump out and say, hey, look at us? And I think Jacob had a follow-up with that as well.
Well, yeah, I know this is something that Jacob and I briefly discussed, but yes, you know, I think a lot of this has to do with timing. And in the climate that we're currently in right now, this is a situation in history that we haven't seen before, where that means that the two front runners of the major parties, Democrat and Republican, have extremely high unfavorables, both of them. And yet, they are the major people running for like the highest office in the land. And, they're on the ballot. And so the situation is, because their unfavorables are so high, I think the public is ripe and ready for a possible alternative, you know? And because of that, and because things have reached a certain crescendo after both the Republican and the Democratic conventions and the brouhaha that has erupted with the polling and lately with the situation with Trump and the Gold Star family and some other guffaws and things, this seems like a climate where PR can really come to the forefront to really offer the alternatives as something a little more viable. Now, years ago, back in the early 90s in the 92 election, if you remember, Ross Perot was a pretty important independent third-party candidate. And Ross Perot had a pretty high percentage, but then he dropped out of the race. Then he got back in the race and he lost a little thunder, but he still was credited for taking enough votes away from, let's say, George Bush to kind of throw the election over to Bill Clinton at the time. And in one of the more recent elections, you had something similar with Ralph Nader, who got in there and they kind of called him a bit of a spoiler because he took some votes away in the state of Florida, I believe. And because of his being in the race like that, I think he was Green Party, was he?
Yes.
And because he was in the race like that, he actually had a huge impact and influence on the outcome of the general election. And I think it threw it over to George Bush, because I think those would have been votes that might have gone to Al Gore, just like Ross Perot's votes might have gone to George Bush Sr. And so that ended up going more to Bill Clinton at the time. And so in each of these cases, these third-party people or people that don't have as much popularity can have a huge impact on the outcome of elections. And so this climate where these third-party people might even be more needed than ever before, because the two major clients have really poor favorable ratings. And like, if either one of these Democrat or Republican candidates were real super popular, it would be that much harder for the PR person to get the message out about the third party person. But from what I understand, and I think Jacob and I mentioned this earlier, was that I think the Gary Johnson, is it?
Yes, Gary Johnson.
Yes.
He's the Libertarian candidate.
Libertarian. He would need like 15 percentage points before he's even allowed to appear at the national debates. And I think his percentage points are 8 or 9 right now, something like that. So he would have to get up to 15 for them to allow him to actually be a participant. And if he becomes a participant, well, that's the best stage of all in front of the public. That would be a good PR maneuver to get him up there so that he would have his say, because if he doesn't make the debates, that would make his case a whole lot harder to get across.
Right, exactly. And then I guess he's polling right now, depending on what poll you look at, it's 8, 9. I've seen him as high as 11, but that's still 4 percentage points away from 15, which is, you know, quite a bit.
Right. So as a PR person, I would say now is the time for his PR department or team or people to get the word out about who is this guy. I think there has to be some sort of a message, whether they use social media mainly or traditional media, or they use a combination of that. But they really and truly, and I've actually seen him and his running mate on a mainstream political program on cable. So that's a step in the right direction on PR, is you get the word out, you get your client on radio and TV talk interview shows, you book events like this, and that's how you build momentum, and it sounds like they're already starting to do that.
Okay, so it's more of a, you know, it's basically they need to basically get him in front of every camera available possible, because I know he's had 2 CNN town halls. The last one was hosted by Anderson Cooper. I know he's been on Colbert for the the late night show. I know he's been on the nightly show with whoever replaced Colbert. I cannot remember his name right now. And I know he's been on Bill Maher's show at least once. So
the real time show.
Yeah.
And he has been on some of the, I believe, I don't know if it was MSNBC or CNN, but I have seen him recently with his running mate on one of those cable political shows. So yeah, that they have to keep the momentum up and keep getting him out there. And he can only hope that the main candidates make more, you know, stumble more and have issues like what's happened recently with Trump, because there was a big opening for someone like him.
Right, where he presents more of the, hey, I'm kind of the more pragmatic, down-to-earth, you can actually trust me with the nuclear codes because I'm not just going to hit a button and bomb someone back to the Stone Age type candidate.
Yes, and I think what this guy to be positioned as, he really represents an alternative, because let's face it, people are voting not so much that they're voting for each candidate, they're kind of voting against the other one.
And
if that's what they're doing, then it's better if people feel like they really actually like to vote for someone rather than against someone else.
Right. No, that, yeah, that's in politics and running in a campaign. Yeah, you want to show how your candidate is, I guess, is better than the other one and give someone a reason to vote for you. That's not a reason to vote against another person. That's the campaigns I've seen have worked the most effectively.
Yes. Well, you know, I got the feeling that the Bernie Sanders people were really voting for him rather than against somebody else.
Right.
And I think that's why they were so vocal, and especially with what happened at the Democratic convention and all that going on at the beginning of the convention and protesting, because they really wanted him.
Exactly. And also they had the DNC email leak that went on, that I believe the WikiLeaks released that, the first day of the convention,
or the weekend going into it. And then there was some brouhaha with the Russians, and then you had Trump weighing in about the Russian. I mean, this whole thing has really gotten off message and more on a lot of strange things going on.
Right. Are we watching a reality TV show on VH1 as opposed to actual national politics?
Right. And, you know, reality TV is a whole other aspect of PR these days, because, you know, if somebody has some sort of a storefront, or let's say they have a bookstore, a restaurant, or they have a tire shop or whatever, oftentimes you actually see those things in reality TV, or they might need an expert that's a beauty expert or some other type of sports expert of some kind, and people can get their 15 minutes of fame by piggybacking on some of these reality shows and get good advertising and PR promotion by showing the interior of their restaurant with the name of on the sign of the door or something. So it's opened up a lot of opportunities for public relations.
I want to go back to, we were talking about making stumbles and Donald Trump kind of going awry a little bit. Is it just this day and age, or I don't know what it is, but, and I know you're there to kind of help man the waters, so to speak, but it's like anything that comes out of your mouth, you try to have, you know, you want somebody that looks like they're having fun, but when somebody tries to have fun and do a little joke or a sly remark, everything's just taken out of context and just parsed down so far. Is that difficult for somebody in your field? It's not quite crisis prevention, but it's still in that same mode, because they didn't really intend it that way.
And Richard, that brings to mind something closely related to this, and that is that we are in a society where everything we say, every action we take, and everything we do, it's kind of Big Brother watching you, because somebody will have a cell phone that they can record you. Somebody will have some device that they can report you. In other words, you have to be extra careful with what does come out of your mouth these days, and how you answer questions and how you present yourself. And in public, people will record you, and then it may end up on the 6 o'clock news. And so if you're a politician, especially, or a celebrity, or a reality star, or something like that, you really don't have the kind of privacy that you once knew. And so everything you say, you've got to be very, very careful about. And you have to have a filter.
And when something like that happens with somebody that's well known, are you kind of the first line of kind of like a psychologist? Because they're kind of like, what happened? I didn't intend this. And you're kind of there.
You touched on a good point. I think a PR person, as I say, has to wear quite a lot of hats. We have to be part psychologist. We have to be a good communicator. We have to be expert diplomats. We have to work closely with the media and not ever get on their bad side. So, this is why it's more than just social media.
Mm-hmm.
right. that we asked earlier. You know, it's way more than sending out a Twitter tweet.
And are these things they teach in class, or is this something you learn from experience?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, they should hopefully cover some of this in classes. I took classes years ago, but I think a lot of this is due to the new technologies that have come in. It's called for a lot more tact and decorum in this day and age than ever before, because when I took my classes, we didn't have these phones with cameras everywhere, so they wouldn't be necessarily telling us this stuff. What was behind closed doors, that was your business. But in this day and age, I mean, if you go back in politics, speaking like, let's say, the Kennedy era, back a long time ago in like 1960, from what I understand, Kennedy was, the media was like off limits to his personal life. And maybe he was engaging in certain behaviors or things, but in that era, there wasn't the scrutiny, and it wouldn't end up in the National Enquirer in the way that there was some rules that they used to follow with the press and the media and the journalists. But as the decades have evolved, everything is fair game, and nothing is private.
And do you think that is more of just the media has lost, I don't want to say lost trust, but I guess you could say, yeah, we'll go with lost trust in our government? Or is that just it's now a 24-hour news cycle, and you've got like CNN, MSNBC, Fox News that have literally 24 hours a day, pretty much 7 days a week, have to provide news content, and so they need anything and everything they can get. So
yes, I think it's a combination, but you picked up on a good point, because when I started in the PR business, we didn't have this 24-hour news cable TV kind of thing, and you're absolutely right. They do have to fill it with content and information and keep it going and keep it fresh, and there's only so many ways you can say something about something. And the other thing that's quite different now is that we're living in a real celebrity culture. And when I was coming of age in PR, they used to lead newscasts with hard news stories. They would never, ever, ever lead a newscast with anything to do with a celebrity, right. Ever. And now, if a celebrity does something extraordinary or something weird or something different, that leads the newscast because it's so celebrity driven. And so what is real news versus fluff, but it's blurred a lot. And so the decision makers on the other end that decide what makes the news and what is a newsworthy story, that's gone through a big change.
You mentioned celebrities. Kind of after going through your book, in my notes, I kind of have a couple of different things. I have the celebrity branding can be a double-edged sword, whether it's for a newscast or for a company. But then you also have the companies that are wanting to put stuff within the movies as well. So this is kind of a two-part question, I guess, is, you know, how attached do people want to become with celebrities? And how quickly do they abandon them? Because sometimes we see it really fast in the sports world, especially here lately.
And yes.
Then, are you the one that goes forth if it's a brand and say, can we put this in your movie? And how does that proceed in the PR market?
Well, I think you're talking about a couple of things. One, you know, celebrity branding. And something else is called product placement.
Right.
And the lines kind of blur. For example, if people watch that TV show America's Got Talent, I have often seen in the background Simon Cowell or somebody on the judges panel drinking a cup, I think it would say Coca-Cola or something like that, where you actually see a brand name in a television show like that.
Right.
And that is kind of product placement. And that is a whole industry now. When I first got in the business, it was very subtle, and some of our clients at the time when I worked at an agency were asking us to see on the PR side how could we position their product in a shoot or a movie or TV series. We didn't really have reality TV back then. And so now it's really evolved into more of a big business. Many movies will use product placements and things like that. Okay. And now, what was the first part of your question again?
Just the how celebrities can be a double-edged sword for whatever they're endorsing, possibly, or whatever it might be.
Celebrities oftentimes, they make some extra money many times if they go overseas and endorse certain products, and they might make a commercial in another country or something that you might not necessarily actually see in the U.S., or sometimes they will become a spokesperson, and they might have a product that they're have with a brand. I know that the Kardashian family is an example of this. These are reality TV stars, and many of them are with endorsements of certain products and things, and they also have their own product lines with their names on it. So it becomes a big brand and a big business for them.
Right. To kind of go into the literature world, I want to jump back to the product placement, because just to get a clarification, because it's kind of a gray area, and I'm not sure how it works. Do you see, in TVs and movies, if there's not some type of interaction between the company and the movie studio or TV studio to have those being viewed, they usually blur stuff out. In books, when you're writing in literature, is there those same type of rules of, he drove a Chevy down the street or a Camaro down the street? That's pretty much common, but is there some rules that are starting to come into play where even in books they're going to have to start scrubbing that type of language out, or is literature still kind of able to use those product placements to a degree, for lack of a better term?
Well, I'm not 100% sure what you mean by literature using product placements.
Like a novel? Like a novel? Somebody's just writing a novel and...
And maybe the novel might have a character that is...
driving a Camaro. So say that?
Boy, that is a really good question. You've stumped me a tiny bit, because I am not 100% clear when it comes to something like a novel using a product placement. I know when it comes to a television series or a movie or some other form of product placement, there's things in place about that and contracts and things like that. But I'm not really clear about how a novel would handle something.
Okay.
And then, when you get a product placement in a television series, is that more of a, NCIS is one of the big television shows right now. Do they, if they want to put a product in in their show, do they kind of open it up and say, hey, we're looking, our main character is going to be drinking a soft drink. Does anybody want, I guess, to bid on it, or is it more the Coca-Cola's, Pepsi's, Mountain Dew's coming to the production or the producers and saying, we would like to have your main character drink our drink?
There's a lot of rules and regulations, and there's whole departments that handle product placement now. It's kind of a much bigger business, and they have a certain contracts, and it kind of, it's a little bit on the public relations side, absolutely, because obviously the companies absolutely want to see their products in these movies and things of that kind. But then it's a bit of a real business now that has evolved a lot over the years. And there are companies, as I see, that actually specialize in the ins and outs of all of this. And the one thing about public relations, as I say, we have to wear so many hats. If you can imagine, we're talking about product placement. We're talking about crisis communication. We're talking about media relations. We're talking about celebrities and endorsements. We're talking about branding. So can you see that there's so many aspects to what goes into under the umbrella of public relations? On top of that, there's also like special events that we didn't talk about yet, but that is also under the PR umbrella. If you have a grand opening, if you have if you want to launch a new venue of some kind, if you have a food festival somewhere and you're inviting media and people and entertainment and you name it, that's also something that is a special event. If you want to hold a press conference, if you're in a crisis and you need to hold a press conference, or if you have a new product launch and you want a press conference, that all falls under the PR umbrella too.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you guys, it's just one really big umbrella that a lot of stuff gets caught under. So, yeah, I mean, when you say you wear a lot of hats, I mean, it's there are a lot of hats to put on. I guess I have another question. It's more along the lines of movies and during awards seasons. Do movie and movie studios hire PR firms or single specialists to push their movies so that, hey, we have this, like The Revenant, for instance, to get Leo DiCaprio his first Oscar sure. after getting snubbed, you know, 15 different times. Is that something that a studio would hire a PR person for, or do they just let...
Well, yes, the studios generally have their own PR departments, and sometimes, with PR, you can work in an agency setting where you handle a lot of different clients, a variety of clients. You could be in-house where you're the PR department of a studio like you're talking about, or a bank, or a college or other institution or a hospital or something. Or you could be a publicist where you generally handle entertainment type celebrities and clients like that. Or you can be an independent like myself where you act as an agency or a publicist or something of that nature. So there's different aspects of it. But getting back to the movies, this is a little bit of trivia and a tidbit. My former boss, the late Alfred Stern, who would have turned 100 years old August 4th recently, he used to be in the PR department for RKO Pictures, and he actually did the public relations on the first public relations for the movie classic It's a Wonderful Life back in the 40s when it first opened. And the movie was actually a bomb. It wasn't well received. I think it had the wrong kind of release date. I think they released it in summer or something, and it just wasn't that type of a movie. And as you know, the rest is history because it is now considered a classic. And they retooled it and reconfigured the PR department about what to do, because they absolutely thought they had a bomb on their hands because it didn't do well. But yet, with the genius of the PR department, they reworked the thing, and look at how it's such a classic today.
Right, exactly. And I think, if I remember right, Citizen Kane was like that, too. It didn't do well in the box office at all, either. And then a PR person or somebody got a hold of it and retooled it, and now it's AFI's top movie ever made. Or at least I think it still holds that title.
So. Exactly. But you see, that's where the genius of good PR or bad PR comes in. Because you can take the same movie and the same set of circumstances and promote it one way, it's a bomb, and promote it a different way, it's a big hit.
Right, and this is one of the quotes from your book that I picked out. Don't know why, just stuck in my head, so I wrote it down. And this is where it will fit well, is this: one good plan, carried out the right way at the right time, can literally make or break a campaign.
Yes, thank you. That's very true. That's exactly what I'm trying to say with this, because that is the beauty of public relations. It's in your hands. You know, it's not carved in stone. It's not 2 + 2 and you will always get 4 no matter what. So it's the genius of the plan of the PR and the execution of it as to whether or not you're successful. But one important part of PR that I really should mention to be responsible about it is that public relations is not guaranteed. It is not a situation where, as if a PR person or specialist or company out there says, well, if you hire me, I will guarantee that you will get X, 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 and X, and you will be on this program, and I'll get you the... You should absolutely run the other way, because public relations is not an exact science. And as a PR specialist, we do our best effort, and we can never promise that we will absolutely get the client the coverage. But with how we know how to execute something, we know who our audience is, who we are trying to reach with the message, what the angle or hook might be, and how to properly put it together in a message that will interest the media to want to cover your product, service, book, what have you. We have pretty good handle on it, and most of us are pretty successful at having something happen for you, but we can't absolutely, it's just an intangible, and it's impossible to guarantee it. And it's also impossible to guarantee whether or not people will line up around the door to buy your product or service or line your pockets. That's another unpredictable thing, because even if a client gets coverage, what's so important about that is how you turn around and market it. So if you get on the 6 o'clock news, or if you get your product featured in a magazine or something, or if you get an online mention or a YouTube video out of something, it's real important that you post it to your social media, that you put it to your website, that you continue to market what it is you got, because many people don't see the message the first time around. They have to see it a few times and in a few contexts.
Right, and you were saying it's not an exact science. It's like you gave the example earlier where you said, you know, you could be out to dinner with one of these, you know, TV producers for a news show, and you pick up the phone the next day and call them, and they may still tell you no, even though you could be, you know, you could be the best of friends with them. But if what you're trying to get them to put on their show doesn't match what their show's about, it's just not going to work. And so
exactly. And Jacob, excuse me, the best rule of thumb to think about is that what the media is the most interested in all along is how you can help them sell their audience, and maybe how you can solve a problem. The media are very interested in problems and solutions. If you come in there with a solution to help fix a problem, if there's some kind of gas leak, or if there's some environmental issue or something, and you got a product that could really help save the day, then the media would be awfully interested in that.
Mm-hmm. That is true. With everything that we've been talking about tonight, we've covered a bunch of different topics. We've jumped around. So we appreciate you dealing with us, Rhonda, because we're kind of, I guess, ADD sometimes. I don't know. But first, anybody that's interested in getting into this field, you know, when I got into the library field, I went through my master's, and one of the main things that even the schooling did not prepare me for when I received a directorship is they don't teach you anything, and of course it could change, this has been over 20 years ago in my case, they don't teach you anything about creating a budget. So that is something that if I hadn't had prior experience, and as fortunately it was with a library, but I had to do it on my own because it was thrown at me, but they did not actually teach that in the master's. But if a PR person is actually going into the study and wanting to become a professional, what's some of the things that you found out that we haven't already covered that might be lurking in the dark for them to surprise all of a sudden, say, guess what, you didn't know about this? Is there anything like that we haven't covered yet?
Well, one thing we haven't talked too much about was being a student and going into public relations as a career, for example. And as I mentioned, I... earlier on, I don't know if it was in part one or not, but the field is a little bit more dominated by female to male ratio than ever before, but it doesn't mean that males aren't successful in this business now, because they always have been. But it's one of the interesting majors that doesn't require a master's degree or higher to work in. So that's kind of interesting. And there are many schools that offer communication with a minor in something like this, or radio, TV, film is something aligned to PR. Obviously, there are some universities and colleges that have PR degrees. And of course, it's connected closely to advertising and marketing as well. And there is an organization that, if people are interested in learning about getting into the field of PR, it's called PRSSA, which stands for Public Relations Student Society of America. And they have chapters all over college campuses and things. And PRSA is the Public Relations Society of America, which also has like national chapters as well.
Okay. And before we let you go, I'm going to let you do some of your own PR.
Oh, okay.
As we kind of mentioned in the first part, Rhonda has had some experience, and she's been doing some PR that she's doing for herself because of what's happened with her in the past, and that is in regards to online piracy, and I wanted to bring it back and also talk to you about that. And give you a shout out about that as well. You most recently, unless correct me if I'm wrong, if you've won something else, that's great. We want to know about it. But you won the Bulldog Award for this endeavor as well. But and you mentioned in part one, you did your book deal in April. I just went blank. I'm sorry, Rhonda.
Oh yes, the Check Your Books campaign.
Thank you. And we tried to help you out with that by posting it on our site and everything. But
I so appreciate it.
I want you to have the last few minutes before we sign off and give us a little bit of what's been happening in that field and where it stands right now.
Sure. Well, what this is online book piracy awareness. After I had put out my book on public relations, I had been running some Google searches and maybe some Bing searches and things. And what I was shocked to know is that my book, with hundreds of other books, was being offered as a free download online without my knowledge or permission. And I got real scared to see this and upset. And so what happened was I decided to do a big PR campaign, an awareness campaign, because I figured if I didn't know this was going on, chances are many other people would be unsuspecting like myself. So I called the local 6 o'clock news in Los Angeles, and a reporter came to my home and interviewed me. And one thing led to another. I've been writing feature articles to get the word out. I entered this contest that you mentioned earlier, Bulldog Reporter, and I actually won Publicist of the Year for my efforts. I've been teaming up with some big organizations like the Authors Guild of America and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Global IP Center in Washington, D.C. I've written an article in IP Watchdog publication, and I've teamed up with contacted some other organizations as well, and companies like Muso, which has a new division on publications, and they're out of the U.K. But it's something that really needs greater awareness, and I'm using social media to help get the word out about this, and appearing in front of groups and organizations as well, and on podcasts, because what I'm trying to do is get a consensus of people like myself that have been victimized by this situation, and I tried to educate and teach people what they can do to get these terrible websites to take down this information. And so I appreciate the time to mention that, and I'm still continuing the fight about this. I'm a member of a lot of book organizations, and I won Publicist of the Year with Book Publicists of Southern California a year or so ago as well. So the fight continues.
So any of the authors out there, be aware of what's happening. If you do have some experiences, get in touch with Rhonda so she can Well, if nothing else, you can help her. Like she said, she's gathering data to try to put a
yes,
face
and
to
I,
this.
And I would be more than happy to talk to any of your audience that would like some tips and information on what they can do if they find themselves in this unwanted situation.
Do you have a specific email set aside for people to contact you with that, or how do they contact you if they do?
Well, if
that?
They want to go to my website at www.Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, Reese, R-E-E-S, like in Sam, PR.com, there's email addresses and things on there, and I'd be more than happy to hear from them and help them out.
Cool. That's very nice of you. And we definitely want to keep in touch with you as well. And if anything arises, shoot us an email. We'll post it on our links again and on our webpage and get you back on, because we enjoy having you on and visiting with you. It's a nice time.
Always. Likewise. And thank you very much. The hour flew by.
Yeah, a little bit more than an hour, but yes, we had fun.
Oh, okay. Well, it really flew by. It seemed like an hour.
Well, that's one of the things. When people are nice and easy to talk with, the time flies by. So it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Getting to know you and helping out with your cause. So we appreciate you letting us be a part of that as well.
And thank you very much.
That's going to do it for us this time around. Rhonda, again, thank you very much for coming on again. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
And again, if you're interested in her book, it's Profit and Prosper with Public Relations, Insider Secrets to Make You a Success. That is available at Amazon, probably some other book dealers out there. And if you're a digital reader, it is available as an ebook. So if you're interested in that, there's that version as well. And one of the things we did not mention, but I'll let you get a little bit in here, the CD that's included in that, Rhonda, is that available with the ebook as well, the information?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. Forgot to get that the last time, so I wanted to ask this time around. But there is a CD in there, and if I did not open it because I didn't know if it would become proprietary to any one computer. But is it kind of like the book itself, or is it forms
well,
to help people?
Well, what it primarily is I put together some PR industry resources that go along with what I mentioned in the book.
Okay. So that'll be another area where you want to get into. And like I said, some of the CDs, when you open them up, they can become proprietary to that computer. So that might be a case with this one, because they usually are. And that's why I didn't open it up, because we had other readers reading it. So we do appreciate everything, Rhonda. We hope you've had fun tonight.
I sure did. I really, really did. Thank you very much again.
I'm glad we had this time again. Everybody, we've enjoyed it. We hope you've been having fun listening to us, and we will catch you on the flip side. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.